There's a book that is probably the most important American book that nobody actually reads.
This is WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, where we are passionately vocal. West Liberty University is one of the oldest higher education institutions in the state of West Virginia. Each year, hundreds of students enter for the first time or walk across the stage, diploma in hand. West Liberty University would not have this spectacular legacy without the hard work put in by the many highly motivated professors that choose to call West Liberty home. Hi, I'm Paul, and together with my partner PJ, we will be highlighting one of those professors. In this faculty spotlight, we are speaking with Dr. Steve Crinetti, an English professor here at West Liberty University for the last 13 years. Dr. Crinetti is a Wheeling native. He received his bachelor's degree from Wheeling Jesuit University in 2000 and received his master's degree from the University of Dayton in 2002. Following that, he went into his PhD program, completing that in 2008 from the University of Cincinnati. The reason for his continued pursuit of education was simple. As he puts it,
I wasn't finished talking about books with smart people. Like, that was a thing that just, like, fed my soul, you know? And I thought, you know, I'm not done doing that.
Upon telling us this, I asked Dr. Crinetti if there were any books that he thinks everyone should read.
There's a book that is probably the most important American book that nobody actually reads. And to me, that book is Harry Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. Everybody knows about it. It's one of those that, like, in your Western Civ classes in high school, in your history classes, they write it on the board. They go, this is an important book, and they write it on the board and you move on. Nobody ever actually reads the thing. Not anymore. But in the 19th century, outside of the Bible, it was the best-selling book of the century. You know, incredibly important text for what it tells us about who we were, the problems of who we were, who we could become. So I often cite that as an example of a really important American book.
Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin is not the only book that Dr. Crinetti would encourage everyone to read. He also thinks that one of the most important books of the 20th century is Richard Wright's Native Son.
There's another sort of really important, maybe the most important book of the 20th century. It's a book about, you know, painting with broad strokes here, but it's a book about what it was like to live through racism in the 1930s and 40s in America. And it's such an important book sort of culturally because there was this moment where Book of the Month Club, that was a thing, that was a big popular thing in the 1930s and 40s, where they would select one book that they thought was important and they'd mail it out to all the subscribers to this club, right? Well, some enterprising editor chose Richard Wright's Native Son as the Book of the Month Club selection in 1940, and it got mailed out to all these, like, unsuspecting, you know, old white grandmas or whomever were subscribing to this thing, and it just blew their minds, you know. So it was this incredibly sort of powerful book, but also a powerful cultural moment that it sort of is associated with. So those are two books that I often think are incredibly important but underappreciated by contemporary students.
I'm Paul, and this is WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, where we are passionately vocal. You are listening to a faculty spotlight on English professor Dr. Steve Crinetti. Let's get back to our conversation. Dr. Crinetti has just been explaining to us how he thinks more people should read powerful books, such as Uncle Tom's Cabin and Native Son. From July of 2021 through March of 2022, school districts in 26 states started banning books that deal with themes of racial equality or sexual orientation and identity. As someone who is clearly passionate about literature that deals with powerful themes such as these, I wanted to get Dr. Crinetti's opinion on this troubling trend.
Obviously, I'm not a fan of banning books. And what's funny is so many of the books that make it onto those lists are books that I find myself teaching. So I certainly hope that those bans don't roll their way north into the secondary, post-secondary ed kind of realm. To me, one of the things that books do is books take us outside of our own heads. Books produce in readers empathy for people who may not be exactly like you. And that's, to me, what's scary about the banning, right? The people who are interested in taking those you know, books out of schools or taking those experiences away, those reading experiences away from those students. I think they're taking away valuable opportunities for those students to learn to empathize with people who are different from themselves. To me, that's a really powerful thing that literature does for us. The real root of what literature is doing in our world, I think, is helping us become more empathic human beings, because it takes us out of our own head and lets us live inside the head of somebody who may not be like us for at least those, 250 or 300 pages. And so that, to me, is the danger, is preventing young students from learning the kind of empathy with others that I think literature can powerfully do.
Dr. Crinity's passion for his students and teaching has not gone unnoticed, as he has received numerous faculty awards.
We have three faculty achievement awards. One is for excellence in service. So when you're doing good community service, good service to the university, committee work, overseeing student activities, things like that. So you can get an award for those sorts of activities. You can get an award, our sort of Faculty Excellence in Teaching Award, and that's for your teaching activities. And we have a faculty award that's called Faculty Excellence in Professional Activity, and that's for your research work. I've won both the service and the teaching of those. It was about a 3-year span, maybe about 5 years back, I won those. But what's, I think, magnificent about those is they're conferred upon us by our faculty peers, right? So that's a point of pride, because that's not just a popularity contest, or that's not just boy, you did really great in this one interview that one time or something like that. But that's a moment where my colleagues who know me best and know what I do decided that they wanted to confer that recognition upon me. So those are awards to be proud of, for sure. I do really genuinely want to feel like I'm making a difference in somebody's day. I hope that the people that are paying attention to me at any given moment in a classroom, I hope I'm impacting them in some way. I hope that they hear something they didn't hear before, or they actually, learn something that they maybe didn't think about before, or catch a new perspective on something, or go, that's an interesting point. Or I really do just hope that as I close that office door and head out to the parking lot at the end of the day, that I've done something to make somebody maybe a little smarter, or a little bit more open-minded, or learn a little something new, or think about something in a new way. Hopefully that's happened throughout the day, because that's ultimately the goal of what we're doing here in the first place, is trying to introduce students to new eye-opening kinds of experiences. I'd like to think that I'm hopefully doing that to somebody at least once a day. If not, then I'm probably not doing my job.
Speaking as someone who is not a teacher, it is easy to fail to realize just how much work goes into a typical day of teaching beyond just grading papers and assigning out classwork. For a teacher, particularly a college professor, work does not end when they leave the school, as Dr. Crinity explains.
There are 9-to-5ers out there who think, oh, teaching, what an easy time. Here's the part that I think those folks don't see. I might, only have 2 classes in a day and, 2 office hours in a day, and 3 committee meetings in a day, which might mean my formal commitments are done by 3 or 3:30 or 4. That might be relatively typical. What those folks don't see, those folks who work till 5 or 6 and think, oh, these crazy professors are cutting their grass at 3 in the afternoon. What the heck, right? I mean, people who kind of think that, what they don't see is I might go home and cut my grass at 3 in the afternoon. And then I immediately sit back at my dining room table, open up my Sakai and start grading the papers that I've collected. And so I'm often with a break in the middle to throw batting practice to my kid, or cut the grass, or, run to the store and pick up something to help out around the house or something like this. Then I'm usually back at it often till, 9 or 10 at night, just sitting at the dining room table with Sakai open, grading the quizzes, grading the papers. And so it's a flexible day, which I appreciate, because I do have sometimes the opportunity to, go pick my kid up from school at 3 and throw in batting practice at 4. Like that's a thing I enjoy about the job. But the downside of that is then I'm often back to work, so to speak, at 6, 7, 8 at night.
Even on the weekend, a teacher's job doesn't end and allow them to kick back and relax like you might expect. As Dr. Crinity explains, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, he is up by 6 a.m. grading papers.
When you're a 9-to-5, or let's say when you have a 9-to-5 job, and again, not to knock those, it's different things work well for different people. But when you have a job like that, your weekend is your weekend. The way a teacher views the weekend is not like, oh, thank God it's free time. The way the teacher views a weekend, and I know this is true from other faculty members that I've talked to, and even secondary ed teachers like my wife included, we view that as time to get all of our grading caught up and get our planning for the week caught up. And so I'm one of those folks who I wake up at 6 a.m. every day, regardless of the day. I feel like I work better on a rhythm. But I'm up at 6 a.m. grading assignments on a Saturday morning when somebody else might be sleeping in and getting ready for a football tailgate or something like this, right? That's a thing that I think people don't recognize about teaching, which is we don't view the weekend as, oh, good, free time. We view the weekend as, oh, good, time to catch up on all the stuff I didn't get done during the week.
And his work here at West Liberty has certainly left an impact, as Dr. Kernity has been the recipient of several major awards honoring his work as a teacher. One of those accomplishments was winning the West Virginia Teacher of the Year Award.
So I recently won what was called the Faculty Merit Foundation's West Virginia Professor of the Year Award. And what that award is, it's actually across all schools, community colleges, universities throughout the state. So that includes your Marshalls and your WVUs and Fairmont and Shepherd and all the rest. And it's across all disciplines. So, you know, I was competing against a chemistry professor, an education professor, a psychology professor, I think, and some folks like that. So that was a huge accomplishment. I was kind of shocked that they picked me. And I was humbled that I was nominated by some folks who knew me on campus here and just felt like I would be good for the award. I was really humbled that they chose to put me forward and just kind of can't believe that it worked out, but that has certainly been a significant highlight in my career. One of the things that it put me on a billboard, which I didn't think would ever happen. You know, when you're a teacher, you don't think I'm getting a billboard someday. You know, when you're a teacher, you think I'll be lucky if my students tip their cap to me one time if they see me in Kroger, you know. But so it was nice to get recognition for the work that I've been doing in that way.
This is WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, where we are passionately vocal. Thank you for listening to this faculty spotlight on Dr. Steve Kernity.
We'll stop there for today. We'll dig into the other poems on Thursday. Good luck on the papers. Email me if you have questions. See ya.